All right, folks, this week's connection activity on flexibility, T Free is going to talk us through an improv process so that we can develop our own flexibility and develop our students' flexibility. Take it away, T Free.
All right, everybody, we're going to play around with some improvisation here. If you are a drama teacher or performing art kind of specialist, you'll probably have better activities than what I'm going to throw in here. This is just my experience with a couple of things we've done with Challenge Day to help us roll with our partners and be able to like just kind of freestyle on the microphone and things like that. And it's become a very useful tool for me in the classroom because almost anything a student can say, I can roll with it and I can validate it and then get back into the lesson. When I've had co-teachers in my room, or I think I shared having my observing principal in my room, like she jumped in literally in the middle of my class and got up on the board and like I rolled with it flawlessly. And I think that's because I've practiced a lot of this. So this is going to be our connection activity, is how do we connect with our other teachers? Cause I think if we can practice as a teacher group, it gets us all better at this. And you can also do this with your students if you feel comfortable with it, and depending on your subject, maybe it's super appropriate for like debates and things like that to actually get them comfortable with just jumping into a conversation and kind of rolling with what was said previously. So that's what Dave and I are going to model here. It's going to be kind of fun. So here's the setup we're going to do. We're going to talk and freestyle for about 2 to 3 minutes. We're always going to agree with each other. So it's kind of that yes, and we've got to go with the story the other person started, and we'll tell a story together. We are going to specifically do it one sentence at a time because there's only the two of us. And if we do it one word at a time, it would be like a lot of just awkward back and forth. But if you have a large group and you can do like groups of 4 or 5, a variation you can do instead of one sentence is you actually can do one word. And so like person A, B, C, D, E would say one word, one word, one word, one word, loop back, one word, one word, one word, and you're going to try to tell a story one word at a time. And that one's even more difficult, I think. So that's a variation. Another one that I think is fun if you've got a larger group is you can make your statement. Instead of going in order, I could be like, I went to school today and found a bologna sandwich, popcorn David, right? And so you can popcorn and do it inside of a group and let like the whole group kind of participate. And at any given moment, you can get the sentence thrown to you. So it keeps your alertness and your listening skills going as well. And this is a good one to do inside of the like staff kind of vibe as well. Mm-hmm. If you have lots of people on your team, or it's like a full staff meeting, maybe 12 people or so, you can do the popcorn style as well. So Dave and I are just going to go back and forth because there's the two of us. We won't popcorn it, but we'll do one sentence at a time. We are going to use the topic of happy dances at school, or happy dance at school. And so we're just going to have some fun. This will be a little bit slapstick comedy here, a little bit whose line is it anyways kind of vibe to it. And we're going to have some fun, and then we'll talk about some of the lessons from this and how to apply it after we're done. So, all right, Dave, we're going to get started here.
This is my first improv ever, by the way. So for those of you who are noticing that Tim is better at this than me, like he is at many things, in this case, there's a reason. I'll do my best not to make you look silly.
I'm so pumped, and I'm going to probably intentionally try to mess with this and get this a little bit off kilter. So
okay.
We'll see.
I'll do that on accident. So.
Excellent. All right. So first line, we'll get started. We'll just kind of go back and forth. Today at school, I saw a spider.
And it was eating a fly.
While it was eating a fly, I noticed that it looked a little extra hungry.
Which is probably why it started doing its happy dance.
Obviously, it was doing a happy dance because it was eating. And why would you not be doing a happy dance while eating?
Well, you could get a stomach ache. I don't imagine flies really sit in the tummy very well.
My stomach feels so good right now because I ate that fly.
Just the one fly?
How many flies do you think I could eat if I really started going crazy?
I think that you and Shrek could both do the cotton candy fly situation.
I'm gonna encourage you to be part of the same story as me instead of answering my question.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. Tomorrow at school, we're going to have a really special guest show up.
And we're going to watch them eat spiders.
When we're watching our guest speaker eat spiders, I'm going to try to come up with some creative questions to ask them.
I'm thinking that we might be able to ask them some questions about being a spider who eats spiders.
And if they don't know how to respond to that, I might try to scaffold that by saying, what else do you like to eat?
He might say that he's not sure how to address our group because we're kind of freaking him out.
I'm kind of hoping that after he finishes his presentation, he does a happy dance.
I'm guessing that after he does his presentation and we play Dua Lipa, he will definitely do a happy dance.
I'm going to play as much fun music as I can possibly play.
I always play fun music. And right now, my favorite song is, or my favorite album is Future Nostalgia.
Future Nostalgia makes me do an internal happy dance.
Makes me do an external happy dance.
So, all right, we're going to kind of wrap up from there. So anyways, the point is when we're doing this, the whole game is really like, can I try to tell one storyline? And mm-hmm. as you notice with both of us, actually, I was doing it as well. It's really hard to tell one storyline because you want to still have the back and forth because we're used to having conversations with other people instead of being one person. So one of the things that I have experienced with improv practice stuff is trying to get out of the me or them and create the we kind of vibe, like we are one.
Yeah.
And that for me has allowed me to be a better co-teacher specifically because then it doesn't feel like I teach and then they come and teach, or, you know, it becomes this like fluid. We can dive in and out and we're one with each other and it's less of a yes, but, or the, I like that, I'm going to show this, or we're separate, and trying to build off of it. Or if I get a student up on the board, one of the things this has helped me with is if they start a problem, but they don't know where to go with it, trying to get other students to participate from exactly where they left off, even if it's wrong, and help them recourse it back to the next right step.
Oh, okay.
And so for math, at least, this is really good because you have to understand the misconception. If it's something that was done incorrectly, you have to understand the misconception and how to recalibrate back into the right path, which is a very critical thinking skill. Like, it's actually fairly difficult. And it's something I've developed a lot when I do tutoring, because I try to understand where the student's coming from to help patch the misunderstanding and not have them feel wrong in the process.
Well, so like one of the things that I noticed, right, like as I disclaimed first time doing improv where I got into like the answering the questions thing and you just like gently kind of pushed it without like hard cut, let's start again, was right. I thought an example of you also like knowing how to handle things on the fly. And I think to your point about like how does this fit into content, when you were talking about the math problem, I mean, if you're teaching any sort of social science, I would imagine that you're doing some version of Socratic seminars on a regular basis. And if you're talking about anything that's really interesting and powerful, there's probably some controversy or some differing opinions on that. And teaching students how to build off of what somebody else said, right? Like we use the term critique ideas, not people, all the time in that space. And I think this improv practice, like you're talking about with being on the math board and picking up the problem from where it's at, is a very similar skill set. So I think it would apply across content.
Right. And the other thing that's funny, actually, has made me think of something I did today. This idea of like rolling with student interest and excitement, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Me personally, I believe that learning anything is a success in the classroom, right? And mm-hmm. the more that we can create learning atmospheres, even if it's not my specific state standard, the more I think I just get them excited about learning in general, the better, because it sets them up like, oh, that was fun. Maybe the next one will be fun, right? And so today I legit went on a – so I've built – project-based learning for the last 6 weeks of school because I wanted to get away from some of the – sit down, here's your formula for this, just do this. Like, we've done that for a while, trying to knock out some of the state standards in this very weird, awkward, condensed year. And so in area stuff, we've shifted it into more of a real life project base. Mm. So we have been building an airport for the last 3 days, basically, and pouring concrete for a runway and figuring out perimeter by how many lights do we need for the edge and down the center. And we've started talking about, you know, like how cool these lights are and all the safety features they do. And today the part that we got to was the jet blast deflector. So I don't know if you've seen this before in like airports, but they've got that like kind of steel scoop or like diagonal, like steel sheet that basically deflects the jet blast, the backdraft of the air coming out of the engines, so it doesn't do damage to vehicles and buildings and trees and all that kind of stuff. It redirects it upwards into a safer space. And so I was showing them, and I was like, do you guys know what a jet blast deflector is? And I was with my English as a second language group today, second period, and they were like, you know, no, not really. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, so, jet, you know, big old 737s are big enough that when that air is coming back, it can do some damage. So they're like, show us. And so like, I pulled up a picture and I was like, here's what this would kind of look like. And I'd already had a picture in the Google form, but, you know, like we started looking at a couple of those. I was like, oh, you know where these are also on is they're on aircraft carriers. And on aircraft carriers, you don't want to blow another fighter jet off the aircraft carrier into the water. That would be terrible. So then they're like, wait, an airplane can take off on that? I was like, yeah, have you guys not seen one of these? And so we started looking up aircraft carriers. Then we looked up videos and we watched F-18s and F-15s like take off these aircraft carriers. They're like, wait, what's that cable thing? So then we saw them landing, getting caught by the hook, and like the kids are like losing their minds. And then all of a sudden we're like, wait, have you guys seen the movie Top Gun? So like we went on this total tangent from jet blast deflectors and looking at, like, you know, how do we apply trigonometry to find the lateral height of this diagonal, to, you know, letting them run with excitement about aircraft carriers and planes and deflectors. And then, you know, sixth period had heard about this too. And they're like, wait, have you actually ever seen something get blown over? So then we looked up a YouTube video in sixth period that actually showed a 747 with a car that they had designed, and they put GoPro cameras and stuff in it. And it just gets thrown like hundreds of feet and getting just throttled by this 747. And I was like, that's what would happen on the highway if they didn't have these up. So like running with that. And then all of a sudden coming back from a Top Gun trailer to, okay, so how do we use this sine over coat? You know, a sine is our opposite over hypotenuse. What's going to be our lateral height then? Perfect. Now let's go find the, you know, the square footage. And like, we just ran with it because we could. And again, I think the more we practice this improv, the more you can get the students excited and let it be a tangent without losing the actual thing you're trying to teach.
Well, and this is not the first time that you've talked about being able to roll with students getting interested. I remember a couple episodes ago, might have been a month at this point, you talked about, like, there was a tower in Dubai, maybe, that you were talking about, like, you guys were able to figure out how tall it was based on, like, its shadow, or I can't remember all the details, but, like, you were able to roll with something that students were interested in and then connect it back to class. From the outside, as someone who has declared multiple times on this podcast that I was not a fan of math, it seems like that would be a particularly useful skill in math where it might not always be clear how this has any relevance, or I blurted it out and you did a good job of not letting it like screw you up your path of thinking, but like the plug and chug, like I remember that just being like the way we did math when we grew up, or at least the way I was taught it. You and I were not in the same math classes for obvious reasons, but like I remember, like, there's the formula, there's the problems, plug and chug, like literally being said multiple times by teachers. And this idea of class not being that, right? A place where people have the freedom, A, to express what they're interested in, and then B, for that to be turned into something productive. Because I think where you're better at this than I am is I'm perfectly happy to go down a rabbit hole with the kids, but I very rarely am able to turn that rabbit hole into something useful and like circle back to the content. We'll just like, oh, we're interested in, like, that's just like, I'm kind of kidding, but I could totally see myself as, well, let's just watch Top Gun for the rest of class, because this movie, at least I know it's terrible in many ways, but it's also awesome. And let's watch Tom Cruise pretend that he knows how to spike a volleyball on the beach. That's awesome. And never, never would have come back to how this applies to math. So I continue to be impressed by your ability to do that. I think that's a really awesome skill that you have. And I don't know if it's completely attributable to your improv work, but that might be my motivation to maybe spend some time doing that. So,
right. And improv, I think, has helped me. And I think there's a lot of ways you can do this, right? But I was actually listening to another podcast the other day that was talking about confidence. Mm-hmm. And the idea that and I'm going to probably mess this up, but it was this idea of like, you've got to have the intention of what you want to do. And then mm-hmm. you have to have like the actual follow through to do it. So you have the intention, then you do the action, and then you have the consistency of doing that multiple times over and over with the same intention, with the same amount of effort and energy. And then all of a sudden now you're starting to build that pattern, that habit, and you create that confidence through mm-hmm. that repetitive behavior. So I think I've allowed myself just to make a fool of myself and roll with it. I was DJing a softball game tonight, and I messed up the order of the introductions of names and when we were going to play the Star Spangled Banner. And I wasn't 100% confident because it had been a couple weeks with spring break and stuff since I'd done a game. And so I was like, I think we're going to do the Star Spangled Banner. And I could hear the coach is like, lineups first. I was like, you're right. It's been a long spring break. Here we go, lineups. You know, and I'm on the microphone doing this, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's part of, I think, vulnerability. It's part of, I know how to roll with it. And it's also my personality, right? Like, I'm like a ball of chaos, and I'm okay with it. So,
well, to your point, though, about having a plan, having an intention of where you're trying to go, and then being adaptable in the middle space is something that, you know, I keep talking about coaching on this podcast as well. It's something that's really applicable in the coaching world that I have started to do a better job of doing in my classroom. Is like, I have a very strong thought process of the A and the Z. And then what happens in the middle is like, you're from a football standpoint. And again, I'm trying to do this in my classroom. It sounds like you're doing the same thing in your classroom, both for yourself and for your students, is what happens from B through I'm not going to know what the second one is. Thank you. B through Y is in the alphabet, right? Like, that is where like you're teaching your kids, like, these are some skills, and then you apply these skills to adapt to whatever situation is thrown at you. And that sounds like something that you're already doing in your classroom. And I think that that is something that would be, that's just a valuable life skill, right? Like, if you can focus on, okay, this is the big thing that has to get done, but in that middle space between starting and getting to the end, I have to be willing to understand that the world is too complex for me to just be able to have everything happen exactly the way I laid it out. So,
right. And I love how you're setting us up with that. And I'm going to use that, I think, as a teaser to spin us out of this and set us up for the big idea on Thursday. So everybody come on back, check us out on Thursday. Cause like we've talked about in the past, from A to Z is never a straight line. We've got the swiggles, we got the spirals. And sometimes we got to make very individual plans to adjust with all of our students' needs. And that's also part of our connections and getting to know them, so we can set them up for success and keep doors open. So come on back to our big idea Thursday and hear more about that. We appreciate y'all joining us.
See ya on Thursday.